From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Today, state health officials reported 25 new Juneau residents and one visitor who tested positive for COVID-19. There are five people with active cases of COVID-19 being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Emergency officials say Bartlett staffing is stable, and they expect it to remain that way through the end of December, when state contracted emergency workers are expected to leave. The Juneau School District didn't report any new cases. Students have been out of the classroom all week between the Monday holiday, parent-teacher conferences, and in-service days. City officials say they're planning to offer multiple vaccine clinics at elementary and middle schools the week of November 8th. In an Emergency Operations Center report, officials say they plan to administer roughly 1,200 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to children that week. There are about 2,700 children between the ages of 5 and 11 in Juneau. Statewide, health officials reported 877 new people who have tested positive for the virus and six recent deaths. So far, at least 673 Alaskans and 25 visitors to the state have died due to COVID-19. Archipelago Lot 2A. That's the name of a prominent public space along downtown's Juneau waterfront that few people know. Officials with Juneau Docks and Harbors think they've got a better name that fits with some new public art. It would also help teach throngs of cruise ship visitors a little about Alaska's civil rights history. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
You want to do another ride?
4-year-old Emmett Heimbigner is doing some wobbly laps on a bike that recently got pedals.
I am Emmett, and I've learned to ride a bike, and I haven't done it by myself.
His dad's keeping an eye on him, and so is Alaska civil rights leader Elizabeth Paratrovich in a giant 3-story mural behind him.
Do you recognize her?
The decked-over lot along Juneau's Seawalk that Emmett is riding on could soon be renamed for her, Paratrovich Plaza. Juneau Docks and Harbors officials have been calling it the Archipelago Lot. That name seems to come from a boring legal description of the property. Kirby Day, who's worked for the cruise industry in Juneau for decades, says it's not well known.
When you say archipelago lot, no one really knows what that is or what that means.
That checked out with people walking by during the lunch hour on Thursday. Emmett's dad, for example, didn't know the archipelago name, but knew Paratrovich. Juneau Docks and Harbors officials want to rename the lot, both to fit with the new mural that was finished in September and to help people get around the waterfront better. Here's Docks and Harbors board member Mark Ridgway.
There's a natural flow to naming it Paratrovich Plaza, given the mural's existence there. And we're talking about people who were just walking off of a boat. I'd like it better than, say, the Norwegian Nook or the Carnival Corner or the P&O Outlook.
The board committee voted 7-1 on Wednesday to recommend the Juneau Assembly formally change the name. Ray Wilson was also walking the waterfront on Thursday. The Tlingit elder has lived in Juneau most of his life and wears a hat that says Native Veteran.
I think for a long time, the city of Juneau hadn't recognized the Native people and haven't given them enough credit for what they do and what they put into the pot, so to speak.
Wilson also has a fuzzy memory that he might be a distant relative of Elizabeth Paratrovich.
To include Paratrovich in Juneau history is a big step towards recognizing Native people.
The Docks and Harbors Board recommendation to rename the lot has to go through one more meeting before it goes to the Juneau Assembly. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The Give AK a Shot vaccine sweepstakes ends this month. The chance at a cash prize is meant to encourage Alaskans to get vaccinated. Each week, the Alaska Chamber announces two names from across the state. And this week, a man from Dillingham was one of the winners. KDLG's Tyler Thompson caught up with him and has this story.
Dillingham resident Leo Roll was one of the three names drawn on Thursday as a winner of $49,000 in the vaccine sweepstakes. Roll says he is still in shock.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I got my shot on the 12th, and Monday morning I was getting phone calls already. Still kind of a dream. I'm still waiting to get pinched.
Roll and his son both got sick toward the end of September. They thought it was the flu. Then they tested positive for COVID-19. They both quarantined for 10 days, which is required under the city of Dillingham's current emergency orders. After those 10 days, Roll decided to get the vaccine on his way to get a negative COVID-19 test before a doctor's appointment.
And I figured, well, I'm here at the clinic. I might as well get my COVID shot, too. And I told my son, Jaden, that I wasn't going to do this COVID shot without him. So I pulled him out of school. We went to the clinic, filled out the paperwork, got our COVID shots. He got back in the courtesy van, went back to school. And then I went out and did my appointments.
And on that October 12 night, Roll and his son signed up for the sweepstakes. About a week later, Roll was announced as sweepstakes winner. He plans to use that money to address some health issues.
Physical, mental, and emotional with the stuff I'm going through. I had a stroke in February, trying to get help here. I get referred. So now this will give me a nice nest egg to be able to move closer to a hospital and place where I could get the assistance that I need.
Would you recommend that people get the vaccine?
Yes, definitely. Let's do it for our elders and for our children.
There's only one more week left for Alaskans to sign up for the Give AK a Shot sweepstakes and get vaccinated if they haven't already. In Dillingham, I'm Tyler Thompson.
Many people in Ketchikan heard a rumble and felt a small jolt on Wednesday evening as a magnitude 2.5 earthquake struck Carroll Inlet about 15 miles northeast of town. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, quakes are relatively uncommon in the area.
Researchers have recorded more than 37,000 earthquakes in Alaska this year alone. But Alaska Earthquake Center seismologist Matt Gardine says they're far less common in southeast, especially near Ketchikan. He says just about 25 have been recorded in the southern panhandle this year.
So they're not unheard of course, but most of them are actually centered on, there's a major fault system offshore, the Queen Charlotte Fault. And most of the earthquakes actually occur there, so they're never felt by anybody.
Gardine says quakes closer to the southeast coast, where they can be felt, are rarer. So why does southeast Alaska experience fewer earthquakes than other parts of the state? Well, Gardine says, for one, the region has a smaller fault system than in, say, Anchorage. There are also a lot fewer people, and they're pretty well spread out. And Gardine says it also has to do with the type of faults that run under southeast Alaska.
Under Anchorage, the Anchorage area, that's where we have a subduction occurring of the Pacific Plate under North America. Out by Ketchikan, it's the faults are a little different. They're strike slip, so they're very similar to the San Andreas. It's actually the same general fault system, Pacific moving past North America sideways.
He says those strike-slip, sideways-moving faults tend to produce fewer earthquakes. Every so often, though, there is a major quake on the Queen Charlotte Fault. A magnitude 7.5 off the coast of Prince of Wales Island shook the region in 2013, and a smaller 6.0 in Glacier Bay National Park the following year was widely felt as well, but neither caused widespread damage. All told, Gardine says the earthquake risk in southeast Alaska is quite a bit lower than in other parts of the state. He says the biggest threat to the region isn't earthquakes, but tsunamis.
In particular, these would be tsunamis that are induced from landslides. You know, with the steep terrain there, there's prone to both above shore and undersea landslides that could be triggered by earthquakes. And those could cause extremely large tsunamis with very little warning.
One of those landslide-induced tsunamis happened in Lituya Bay in 1958. After a magnitude 7.8 earthquake sent 90 million tons of rock tumbling into the bay, a tsunami sheared away 2 square miles of forest at elevations of up to 1,700 feet. Gardine says Wednesday's much more mild tremor was a good reminder that earthquakes can strike anywhere in the state and that folks should be ready to drop, cover, and hold on when the earth shakes. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A cyclist was attacked by a brown bear in the Cantwell area. Alaska State Troopers report being notified about a Tuesday morning incident in which the victim said he was riding alone along the Jack River in the vicinity of the park's highway when he saw the bear running toward him. Troopers say the man told them he jumped off his bike and yelled at the bear, then fell as the animal made contact, biting him in the lower leg before it ran off. The man reported walking to the highway and calling a friend for a ride to the Healy Medical Clinic for treatment of puncture wounds and a laceration. The victim said he saw bear tracks in the snow prior to the attack and that he was carrying a gun but didn't fire it. Our windy weekend has started here in Juneau. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour are expected overnight, but the wind should calm down a bit tomorrow. The rain is here too, and showers are expected to last through the night and into Saturday. High tomorrow near 45 degrees. A half inch of rain is possible tomorrow. Sunday, though, looks mostly sunny with a high near 41. That little break will hopefully last through Monday night. Low tonight around 40.